Hello, welcome back to Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. In my last several postings, I've been trying to show that John's gospel points to the fact that Jesus is God. Now, in my effort to emphasize Jesus' deity, I may have given the idea that Jesus is God alone. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm a strong believer in the Trinity. I believe in the Trinity of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are co-equal, they are one. And of course, this is a faith issue because the human mind or the intellect cannot fully comprehend it. But it is essential to coming into a relationship with God. Recently, someone sent me a comment that Jesus is not God, he is the Christ. Well, that is true. The word Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's his title. The word Christ is Greek, and it means Savior in English. And in Hebrew, the word would be Messiah. So Christ, Savior, Messiah are all the same. However, the evidence, I believe, is overwhelming that Jesus is God. The Apostle Paul said that Jesus, as God, laid his deity aside to live among us as human beings, as a human being. As a matter of fact, in Philippians 2, beginning in verse 5, Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, a human, and coming in the likeness of men." See, the Bible says it, and that should settle it for all of us. Now, I want to take a few moments to talk about God's covenant name, the name I Am. In Exodus 3, verses 13 through 14, a profound change in relationship takes place between God and man. You see, up to this time in history, the Israelites, or the Hebrews, would refer to God as El, or Elohim. And this was a general name used for God, not a specific, but a general name. As God prepares to use a reluctant Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, God reveals his personal name. And that indicates his desire for a covenant relationship with the Hebrew people. The scriptures say, "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.'" And then he says, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" That was Exodus 3, 13 through 14. "I am" can be translated as the ever-existent one. He existed even before time. But what's important is that that's God's personal name. Prior to this time, God describes himself as Elohim, a general name for God. Also want to make a point that it's a plural name for God, giving further evidence of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 1, as a matter of fact, it says, "In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth." Now, the Ten Commandments forbid taking God's name in vain. And of course, the Jews, being very religious, were very afraid of misusing God's name. So they would avoid saying the name of God. Instead, they would refer to God as Hashem, which means the name, or Adonai, which means Lord. The early Hebrew writings had no vowels, so when they wanted to write God's name, it was spelled YHWH. And this is called the Tetragrammaton. Now, Latin translations of the Hebrew text used the letters JHVH because they had no Y in their alphabet. And so when the Hebrews would read YHWH out loud, they would substitute the Hebrew word Adonai, which means Lord, because they were afraid of using God's name in vain. Now later, when the Hebrew language developed vowels, Hebrew scholars called Masoretes substituted the vowels found in the word Adonai, and they placed it into the letters YHWH. And they got YAHWEH or Yahweh, which later became Yehovah, which later again changed to Jehovah. And that's simply the Latin form of the word, because the Latin language at that time had no letter Y, so they substituted a J. Now, modern Christian Bibles use Yahweh, Jehovah, or Lord. But when they use the word Lord, they use all capital letters, L-O-R-D, in all capital letters. And all of these names describe or denote the personal name of God. Now, different Bibles use different conventions in the choice of this word. As a side note, the Hebrews do not use any of these conventions. They still refer to God as Hashem, the name, or Adonai, Lord. That previous section was an excerpt from my book called Seeing the Forest for the Trees, God's Promises Revealed, which is available at Amazon.com. Now, in the Bible, God the Father has many descriptive names, and I've included the most familiar ones. Each one is listed, but I want you to notice that each name describes or tells us something about the nature of God. The first great I Am is also called El Shaddai, which means Lord God Almighty. And it was used in the establishing of the covenant of law. We find it in Genesis 17:1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am El Shaddai, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. The second great I Am is also called El Elyon, which means the Most High God. And we find this in Psalm 73:35. Then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God, their El Elyon, their Redeemer. The third great I Am is also called Jehovah Nissi, my Lord, my banner. And this was the title that was given by Moses to the altar, which he erected on top of the hill where he stood. And you may recall that story. He stood with his uplifted hands. And as long as his hands were up, Israel prevailed over their enemies, the Amalekites. But as Moses began to tire, two other younger men came alongside him, Aaron, and they held his arm up until the Amalekites were totally and completely defeated. And we find that story in Exodus 17:15. The fourth great I Am is also called Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. You may recall in the wilderness, within the 40 years in the wilderness, the people began to complain. Matter of fact, they complained about a lot of things. But in this case, they were complaining about the water. And God made the bitter waters sweet. Exodus 15, verse 25 and 26 says, there he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them, speaking of God. And he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes or laws, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. The fifth great I Am that I want to just remind you about is called Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord is my righteousness. In Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6, the scriptures say, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved. Israel will dwell in safety. Now, this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The sixth great I Am is probably a name that you're familiar with. It is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Now, you probably recall the story in Genesis chapter 22 when Abraham took his son Isaac to the mount. And it was there that Abraham was expected to sacrifice his son. Verse 13 says this, "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket, and it was caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son Isaac. And from that point, Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." And the final one that I want to look at from the Old Testament is, in terms of the great I Am, is called Jehovah Shalom. Of course, most of us know that the word Shalom means peace. And that's exactly what it is. The Lord is peace. This comes from Judges 6, verse 22. It talks about Gideon. Remember, one of the judges in the book of Judges. And what's interesting about Gideon, of course, is that he was probably the least likely candidate to lead Israel. But in any case, it says, "Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord." Gideon had encountered the angel of the Lord. And so Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And of course, the Jews believed at that time that if you saw him face to face, you would die. But then 23 says, "Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord, and he called it, "The Lord is peace," Jehovah Shalom. Now, the seven I Am's are, of course, found in the Old Testament covenant, and they use descriptive names of Yahweh or Jehovah God. And of course, I've only mentioned seven of them. There are probably about 13, 14, 15 of them. But the New Testament covenant also uses names to describe Jesus' identity with Father God. Jesus used the phrase, "I am," seven times in the Gospel of John. Remember, the number seven is the number of completion or perfection. And in the Bible, "I am" is God's name. So these seven I Am's represent signs pointing us to the fact that Jesus is God. I only have time to go through each one of the seven, and I encourage you to spend time in the Gospel of John and to search out the Word and let God speak to you as you meditate upon each of these seven I Am's. And the first one we find in John 6, 35, 41, and 48, as well as verse 51. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." As bread sustains the physical body, so Christ offers us and sustains our spiritual life. Only God can do that. Then in John 8, 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." To a world that's lost in darkness, Christ offers himself as a light in the darkness. I don't know about you, but I remember when I was in darkness. And I'm so thankful that Jesus came into my life and revealed the truth to me, because we know that the truth will do what? It will set us free. The next time Jesus says, "I am," he says, "I am the door of the sheep." That's in John 10, verses 7 and 9. Jesus protects his followers just as the shepherd protects their flocks from predators. Then there is John 11, 25. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Hallelujah. Death is not the final word for those that are in Christ, because he has conquered death and conquered sin. But nevertheless, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And then the next time we see an I Am is in John chapter 10, verses 11 and 14. And Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." See, Jesus is committed to caring and watching over those who belong to him. And then Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Of course, that's John 14, 6. I'm sure most of you know that. Jesus is the source of all truth, not some truth, all truth and knowledge about God. Then John says in chapter 15, verse 1 and 5, I should say, Jesus says, I am the true vine. And by attaching ourselves to Christ, we become enabled to allow his life to flow in and through us. Then we can't help but bear fruit that will honor Father God. And so these are the names of, or descriptive names of Jesus, the seven I Ams that are found in the Gospel of John. And when you couple that with the seven miracles that are described in the Gospel of John, and of course throughout the Gospel, I don't know how anyone can come to any other conclusion than to say that Jesus is God. The Father is God, Jehovah, Yahweh. Jesus the Son is God. And the Holy Spirit is God. Three in one. Now, the only names of Jesus' character that you need to know is that he is the way maker. He's the miracle worker. He's the promise keeper. And he's the light in the darkness. Let those truths become a reality in your life, and you will experience a fresh, new, overcoming life today. God bless you. I really do look forward to seeing you the next time.